God, I need your help. My mind is all over the place. Would you help us focus tonight? Maybe I'm not the only one who can't focus, but I feel crazy. So, God, we just ask for your help. God, this topic's not easy. We're going to talk about sadness and loss, things that, you know, we've lost in our lives. Maybe it was a friendship. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was an item or a thing that was important to us. But God, over time, if we don't deal with our grief, the things that we've lost inside, our emotions can get all screwed up. So God, would you help us as we think back on our life, as we reflect on even how we're feeling now and tonight, that maybe we've had some type of loss recently, or maybe we've had something big happen in our life that we aren't dealing with it well. God, would you help us as we try to turn to you a little bit and ask for some wisdom and help and some hope as we take a look at a movie clip from Inside Out and look at the character of sadness and how does sadness fit in all of our emotions and how they connect. And God, there's some value in having sadness in our life. Even though we may not like to admit it, it actually does something for us, and it can be good for our soul too. So God, would you comfort us in our grief? Would you help us in our anger and our frustration with it too? And sometimes we can get super depressed about it. So God, we pray that you would lift us out of those things. Would you help us to journey through grief together as a team, as a group, and lean on each other and lean on you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me just set up this clip for you while Ian's got it all ready to go. He's on it. The main character, Riley, a girl, just moved, and she's having a hard time with the adjustment of life. She's lost some friends. She's gone to a new school. She's been embarrassed, and now her emotions have begun to break down. And if you remember, like the little like the islands in her life, the different things have started to crumble. Like her relationships and friendships have crumbled. Her connection with her parents has begun to crumble. Her, goofball island has begun to crumble. She's not laughing right now. She's super sad, and she's angry, and she's ready to run away. So this is a scene of her actually getting on a bus and saying, "Mom and Dad, I'm out," and how sadness can affect you. So Riley's super sad, but sadness brings her some healing and restores some of the emotional islands in her life, right? And she rediscovers family and the value of leaning on her parents and sharing that. It's kind of cool. So how about you? Have you ever been sad? We're gonna come back to that one. So have you ever been sad? Of course you have, right? Of course you've been sad. So what role does sadness play in our lives? And if you've seen the movie, usually it's one individual emotion at a time, but toward the end of the movie, you kind of realize that emotions begin to overlap, and she has these mixed memories. Where have you ever felt happy and sad at the same time? Yeah. Or ever cry because you're happy? Like, it's just kind of, emotions can kind of be weird that way. Or you're like, you could be angry but sad. Things can go all, you know, kind of get all mixed up. Today, we're going to talk about sadness and loss, but I got to be honest, it's all the emotions kind of slammed together. And it's really hard sometimes to figure out your journey through grieving about things, being sad about stuff. So walk with me for a minute in your mind. When I was young, I had a pet die. You guys ever had a pet that you liked die? I mean, I've had pets that I didn't like die, and it didn't bother me much. But I cared about my hamster. First pet I ever had, hamster. And he lasted like two and a half, maybe 3 years for a hamster. That's actually super long for a hamster. He got like really fat and fuzzy. And I remember walking by his cage one day, and I was in elementary school, and I'm like, you know, poke, poke. It's this ball of fur in the bottom of the cedar chips. And I'm like, "Ah, Mom, something's wrong with my hamster." Yeah. And I was trying to figure out a reason, like, did he get stabbed? Like, did he eat some poison? Or, you know, I think it was just he outlived his lifespan, you know, whatever, old age for a hamster. So that was a moment, but it wasn't a particularly hard, super, super hard moment. I had another moment when I was in elementary school where I went to my first funeral. It was a friend of my dad, my dad's friend, co-worker that he worked with. His co-worker's wife had died. She had been ill for a long time. And I had never been to a funeral. And so we went. I'm in elementary school. I didn't really know what to expect or what's going on. And it was an open casket kind of one. So you can see the dead body. And I was freaked out. Like, They told me that it was going to be that way, and you could, like, far away, you could tell that the coffin was open, and I was in the back, you know, and didn't really want to be over there. But, like, I remember, like, getting closer, and, like, I'd never seen a dead person, and it was freaky, you know, like, and there's all these people, and there's crying, and there's pictures, and there's flowers, and I'm trying to absorb this as an elementary school kid, you know? And I had super detachment. Like, as a friend of a friend, you know, as my dad's friend's wife, like, I had no connection as an elementary school kid. Like, but that was still kind of freaky. The one that affected me more was actually my favorite pet, Blackie. I know. Guess what color he was? Black. Yeah, original, right? My cat, Blackie, got him when I was really young. And he lived, like, 10 years. It was pretty good for a cat. He was like my best buddy. Like, I carried him around in a Lincoln log can, and like, he would, like, climb my toy shelf, you know, scaffolding, whatever, and jump up on the top bunk of my bunk bed and sleep with me at night. Got, like, super tight with my cat, right? This is my buddy, my friend. And then we had to move for a year. My family moved to Sweden for a year. My dad was doing research with the University of Akron, and I had to leave my cat behind. And my friends, and the language that I knew, and the money system that I knew, and all that. And we moved and lived there for a year, and I was, like, freaked out that, you know, my cat, something bad was going to happen to my cat. So this strange family took care of my cat. And when I got back, I was so glad to see my cat. So my cat lived about 10 years, and then something sad happened. He got cat cancer. Isn't that a bummer? I mean, usually, you know, get run over by a car or just run away or whatever. No, so, like, he's suffering. Like, he had colon cancer for a cat. And I'm like, so we had to, like, put him to sleep. So, like, the decision, like, it was a merciful, like, be humane to the animal decision. Like, I had never had to make a choice like that before. But clearly he was suffering, and, like, okay, so we had him put to sleep. And I was, like, I felt guilty. Like, I killed the thing or murdered my cat. You know, like, just even though there was, you know, it was hard to watch him suffer, you know, throughout the week and watch him, you know, have a hard time. Couldn't use the bathroom. Couldn't walk around. You know, he's dragging his body around. I'm like, okay, this, it made sense, but that was a big responsibility to, you know, my parents are like, well, you got to decide, you know, and I'm like, holy cow, this is heavy, right? Heavy. So how does grief work? How does loss work? I'm just talking about, I haven't even got to, like, you know, totally, like, real people kind of stuff. I mean, but I think animals could have anybody have an emotional attachment to an animal? Yeah. Yeah, totally. So you guys can kind of get that. All right. So sadness, grief. People talk that there are stages of grief and that we go through them and have kind of these checkpoints, if you will. There are a lot of people, a lot of psychologists, a lot of people who study loss and sadness and grief and things like that, and they can't quite agree on how many there are. So I'm going to show you several different ones, okay? This particular one has 5. I'll show you another one that's got 7, and I'll show you another one that's got 20, okay? Seriously. Because it's complicated and complex, and I'll show you some that look like just words, and others that are just like a picture, okay? And you'll have to decide, all right, which one kind of connects with you. But universally, they kind of boil it down that people in the grieving, sadness, loss category have these primary things in common, or these 5 stages, if they call it. Now, they're not necessarily linear, like they don't always go in order in a row. And sometimes you might move ahead 2, and then you may end back at another one and repeat it again, okay? So here they are. You've got denial. So something bad happens, or something, you lose a friendship, let's say, and you have denial that, oh, you know what? We're gonna work things out. Our friendship's gonna get restored. It's gonna be okay. So you have denial that actually that it's really true that your friend and you aren't gonna be friends anymore. Okay, or if it you know, if it was something heavier, you know, maybe it was a grandparent passed away, and you know, there's no way. I love Grandpappy. There's no way, and you deny that it really happened. Okay, so you got this kind of denial thing. And then you may move to anger. And then you might move back to denial again. And then you might move forward again to depression. Okay, so are you with me? That's not necessarily in order. So you're angry. You got anger going on. Then you might get super sad and just in a funk and you can't get out of it. And then you might move to this kind of bargaining, making a deal. Like, is there any way you can fix it or make it work out? Or is there a way to restore the thing? Okay. And then the last one is finally you embrace the reality and the pain of it. And accept that the friendship is over, or you know what, it's really true. You go to the funeral and you see there's grandpa, okay, and it sinks in. But then you're gone, and then you're living your life, and then maybe throughout the day, these feelings creep back in, okay? And then maybe anniversaries of the thing, that can be a big trigger, and all of a sudden, man, a year from now, wow, and you felt it all over again. What the heck is that? I thought I dealt with that. So grief can be kind of funky like that and be challenging. So I've got a handout for you and some resources for you. So I can use a few helpers. Can I get a few helpers to hand out some papers? And where we are is if you open it up, I'm going to ask you some questions and give you a chance to think on it. So I think the first question in your handout is, what makes you sad? All right, so while Jeff is handing out some pens and pencils, I want you to think on this question. What makes you sad? And then look at the list below that, the ways that you may have experienced loss in your life, okay? And again, we're covering all kinds of stuff, from the death of somebody that you care about to maybe a lost opportunity, or maybe a loss of identity, or maybe you actually lost a physical item, all kinds of different ways that we can grieve and have loss. So I'm going to ask for some feedback. So what are some things that make you sad? Doing homework makes you sad. Fair enough. Death makes you sad. Sure. Makes me sad too. Stress makes you sad. Bad grade on a test, especially when you worked hard and studied for. Yeah. Loss of hope. So you're feeling hopeless, down, can be super, super sad. Sure. What else makes you sad? How about when you get hurt? You ever get sad when you're hurt? Stub your toe, hurt your finger, cut yourself? Yeah. Okay. How about, what if a friend hurts your feelings? I don't know. Do you get sad about that? Okay. What if your favorite team loses the big game? You sad about that? Some are like, yeah, I'm sad, and then I'm angry, and then I'm depressed, and then I bargain with God that he's going to make him win, and then I finally realize my team stinks. Yeah. Moving makes you sad, okay? Yeah. Leaving the things, the comfort and safety of the stuff that you like? Sure. Hurtful comments. People being mean. Sure. People making fun. Yeah. How about when someone eats the last piece of pie? So sad. Not being accepted. Yeah, that's a big one. Man, if you feel like you don't fit in, or you don't are not accepted, or you don't have friends, or you just feel left out or lonely, did I nail it? Lonely. Totally. That counts. And even in the movie, Riley's feeling super lonely, man. She doesn't know anybody in this new town. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Ever been sad because of failure? You failed something, you know? Or maybe you just made a bad choice, or maybe, like, I don't know, failure is a big one, you know? You didn't perform up to what you wanted or what other people maybe were expecting. Waking up makes you sad. I wake up in the morning and I'm sad. How about the weather? Does the weather ever make you sad? Not today, maybe. Okay. Yeah, sure. All right, so go ahead and check the boxes, every single one you've ever experienced, okay? Check the boxes of the things that you've experienced loss in your life. I'm going to share a little bit as you check those boxes, and you'll have a chance to share with your group later. Death of a pet, yep, that's me. Death of a friend, yeah, that happened to me. Grandparents, yeah, you guys know this. I lost 3 grandparents in 1 year. And in fact, the last one who died was my last grandparent. So like that was really hard. Like all of a sudden I was grandparentless. That might sound kind of funny, but like it affected me. I'm like, wow. How about this? Death of a family member. That has not happened for me. Divorced parents, not for me. Tragic event, yeah. Do you guys remember September 11th and the World Trade Center stuff? I don't know if you were around or born or remember that going on. That affected me, and I didn't believe it. I'm watching it on TV. I'm like, there's no way a stinking airplane flew into the Twin Towers, you know? Like, this is like Hollywood made-up movie stuff. And, yeah, it was crazy, like, an event like that. Or, like, how about, like, things like Hurricane Katrina or some of the other hurricanes that were, like, big natural disasters that have happened. Those can be big, right? Like a tragic event, a car accident. When I was in college, 4 students were driving back to campus and got in a car wreck, and they all 4 passed away. Our campus was, like, rocked. And, you know, Hilliard's no stranger to loss. You know, even last week, Some of you guys may have known Stevie was in a car accident on his way to sledding or coming home from sledding. I mean, that's insane, right? I mean, that hurts. That feels weird. Like, did that affect anybody the last week or so? Yeah. That can be hard to handle. Like, all right, can I be like gut level, like, this was hard for me? The first time I lost a classmate, I mean, I'm just going to sit down for a sec. Is that cool? Can you see me if I sit down? I was a senior in high school, and I had played football with this guy named Mitch. And Mitch was a year ahead of me. So my junior year, I sat on the bench behind Mitch, and Mitch played tight end, and I watched Mitch play tight end. And I was mad because I wanted to play, and he got to play because he was a senior, and so he played, and I sat, and I watched him play. Well, one of the games the coach sent me in, I would be like one of those guys who sends in the plays, but I wasn't supposed to like be the guy who gets the ball, just kind of a runner, whatever. So anyway, I sent in a play, and Mitch wanted to switch positions with me because he was on the right side, and I was on the left side playing tight end. And the guy on the left was going to get the ball. So I said, no, I wouldn't trade with him in the huddle. And so the play went on. The quarterback throws it to me. I score my first touchdown in a varsity game. Super excited. Okay. Mitch, super pissed, mad, angry that I wouldn't switch with him, you know, whatever. The following year, Mitch was out drinking with his friends. He'd moved on to college now, out drinking with his buddies, and they decided up in Cleveland that they were going to swim across the river. So he tries to swim across the river with his buddies after they'd been drinking, and the alcohol had taken over him, and he was drunk, and he couldn't swim, and he drowned. And Mitch's brother went to our school. He was a freshman that year. I was a senior. I felt horrible, horrible guilt about how I treated Mitch, how I resented him being ahead of me in a position, and that I stole this touchdown from this guy. And you know what? Pretty sure he didn't know Christ. The way he lived, the way he talked, what he believed in, he was not a follower of Jesus as far as I could tell. And I was. And I felt like an idiot that I never shared the gospel with the guy. I was mad at the guy. I stole this guy's only glory in this earthly world that he's going to have, and now he's gone. And I was racked with guilt for over a year about it. It was hard. But it also spoke to me. And I'm like, you know what? I need to live my life different. Life is shorter than I thought. Like, because high school, you don't think anyone's going to die. You think you're invincible. You think, you know, that's not going to happen to you. Everybody deserves to live till they're 90 and be, you know, old and fat and happy, right? But that didn't happen for him. And I actually felt weird being around his brother because I'm like, man, I was a loser friend to this guy. I was a horrible example to this guy. I was a jealous jerk. And there's nothing I can do to fix it. Like, the whole bargaining, like, he's not coming back, and I can't talk to him, and I can't apologize, and it was done, you know? Anyway, that's me for a moment. All right, so it's going to be your turn here. So, let's cruise through these and explain them a little bit. Ever felt denial? Like, you heard about the thing, these are the five stages of grief, and you've got this shock or this disbelief. Or maybe it's paralyzing, and you're just frozen, like, what do I do with that? All right, so the next one, anger. You guys are familiar with that. We did a whole lesson on it. But having blame, like, you're blaming someone. Somebody's at fault for what happened with your loss, okay? Or you want justice, or you want revenge, or you just feel guilty or frustrated, and your anger comes out maybe on unknowingly on the people around you. Or maybe you go inward and you get depressed and it overwhelms you and you've got, a helpless feeling. You feel powerless to change anything. You feel powerless to live, to do anything. And maybe that just kind of takes you over and you don't know what to do. And then the whole bargaining thing is trying to gain control back. It's like trying to make a deal with God. Like, God, I will be better if you fix this. Okay? Or you're making deals with God, or you're making deals in your own heart, or maybe even with people around you, that if you change or if you do something, that you could affect the outcome and make it right. And then last is this idea of acceptance or integration, where you embrace the pain, you allow yourself to feel it, you work through it, and you come through it, and you're a changed person. Okay, you're not the same anymore. The grief has happened to you. The loss has happened. and now you're different. So maybe it's something small, like maybe you lose your phone, and then you come to grips with being a teenager who's phoneless. Okay? Not the worst thing in the world, but maybe you loved your technology. Okay? Or maybe you integrate and you figure out, okay, now I'm a person who is petless. My pet is gone. Okay? Or maybe it's a friendship and you're like, you know what? I really like that person, but there are other people I can be friends with, and I need to move forward. Instead of just not making friendships with anyone anymore because you got hurt. Okay? Or maybe it's, you know, something deeper. All right, so that's one system. That's one idea. Here's another one. What do you think of this one? This is your grief process. You are just a watered up, tight ball of rubber band emotions, okay? You don't know which ends up, and they're all mixed together, and they're all whoosh. And you feel them, and it's crazy, and you don't know how to process. Ever feel like that? Just life came at you, slapped you in the face, and you're left with like 10 different emotions and you don't know what to do about it. Yeah. All right, so maybe yours is more like this one. This one has like 20 stages, okay? And all different emotions and things that you might feel. If you look up here, you've got lost, you're hurt by something, you lost it. Or you got the shock, numbness, denial, remember those? We've seen those. Emotional outbursts, you got anger and fear mixed in there. And then maybe you're searching for some type of meaning in it. Like, why did this happen? Disorganization. You can't focus. It's distracting you. Maybe you panic about it. Maybe you feel guilty about it. And then, boom, at the bottom of this giant valley is you just completely feel lonely, you know? And then you isolate yourself. Maybe you withdraw. You pull out of your clubs. You pull off your teams. You stop hanging with friends, and you just hang in your room. And then, obviously, you're depressed totally. And then maybe you try to re-enter, maybe you make some effort to get back into life a little bit, but maybe you struggle to rekindle things. Maybe then you start to form some new relationships, some new strengths. And if you think about Riley, remember she got on a new hockey team, then she builds some new friendships, then she starts to enjoy her new place a little bit in the movie. But for you, maybe if you ever moved, maybe you've developed some better friendships and you've been able to get through, and maybe you move this way, you get some hope and some affirmation. And then, wow, down the road, that you might be able to help somebody else who's grieving, right? Wow, maybe that's where you're at tonight. Maybe you're a helper tonight. Maybe you're not feeling a lot of grief. And maybe you haven't experienced a lot of grief in your life, and that's okay. That's awesome, actually. I don't want you to have a lot of grief in your life. So maybe you're a helper tonight, and you'll have a chance to do that in your life groups. Or maybe you're somewhere along these lines. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I was building new relationships and then things sucked and I went right back to fear. Okay? So like maybe your journey is like, woo, 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 woo. Like maybe it's not this nice curve with, you know, hope at the end. Maybe it's all mixed together. And that's okay. I'm here to tell you, you know what? Your emotions, sometimes they mess you over. It's okay to feel it, and it doesn't have to go in the right orders. But here's the important thing. You got to face it. Face your emotions. Allow yourself to feel it. Share it with people. Talk about it. Don't keep it inside, because that's when it can eat at us and it comes out in really bad ways. All right, so that's another model, okay? All right, so we have another clip. So we're going to take a look at, here's a kind of a animated, I want to call it like an infomercial about grief. I'm going to call it that. This company put together a little quick like public service announcement about loss. Okay, so there'll be some weird things in it, but I think it was actually kind of helpful to watch. So take a look. So how about you? What was the takeaway there? What do we do with our grief? Do we shove it in a closet? Do we pretend the pain doesn't exist? What was the idea? Share it with others? Okay, yeah. And you'll have a chance to do that tonight. And so maybe you're sitting there and you're super sad and this whole topic is making you depressed. Or maybe you're like, I'm good. I don't really have anything that I need to work on. Cool. And then maybe you're a helper tonight. So figure out where you're at. And I've got to be honest, you might have grief over lots of different things and you might just have to pick one thing to focus on tonight. Like, you might not be able to focus on it all. So you might just pick, you know what, I feel sad about this one thing. Let's focus on that tonight. Instead of, hey, I've had all these things happen to me and I don't know where to begin. Maybe you just pick one to share about and talk about tonight. Or maybe there's a few that you need to handle. Or maybe there's something really current and recent that you need to process. All right, so I'm going to take a look at this next slide. It's called The Cries of Grief. If you look at your handout, this guy named Dr. Merton Straumann, he writes in the book Helping Those in Grief by Norman Wright, that sometimes in our emotions, in our hearts, we've got these pains inside of us. The cry of pain is this. You got this intense emotional and physical distress over a loss. Okay, that makes sense, don't you think? And then another cry of your heart might be longing, that you just got this difficult emptiness and you just super miss the person, okay? Or you super miss the thing that you lost. Or you super miss, you know, fill in the blank on what the loss was, your pet or a friend. And the third one, the cry of love and support. Man, you just want other people to help you, and you need people around you. Now, some of you might be kind of like the loners, and you're like, you know what, I just really want to be alone right now. And I think there's a place for that. But I got to be honest, in the process of grief, you're going to need people to kind of be around you as well. And you have to figure out when that is. The fourth one, the cry of understanding. Why did it happen? People who have lost things or people or relationships, they want to know. They want a reason. And sometimes we just don't get them. Actually, more often than not, you guys, I don't know why Stevie was in a car accident. That's horribly tragic and sad. I don't know why my friend Mitch drowned in a river up in Cleveland when I was in high school. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't get that. I've had family members, aunts and uncles and friends who've had cancer, and some of have died from cancer. I'm like, God, I know Jesus has the power to heal and that he could, and he didn't. And I don't understand why, God, why did this person, my Aunt Sandy died of cancer. Like, why did God let that happen? I don't know. I still today don't have answers for some of the loss in my own life. And I'm not really here to give you answers today about why things have happened for you, but to give you permission to ask the question. I think God can handle your doubt. I think he can handle your why. And he may or may not give you an answer, and you may live long enough to actually find value and significance in your loss. And that's great. But you might not, and you might just feel like it's just stinking not fair. And that's legit. Maybe it's just totally not fair. And on this earth, we may not know why. But that doesn't mean there isn't some hope and that God can't meet you in that grief and help you. The cry of significance, the same thing, to see something good come from it. Like, man, if God's going to allow really crappy stuff to happen, then there better be a good reason. There better be a good meaning in it. Sometimes we get to have, a front seat to what that meaning is, and sometimes we never find out. Do you guys remember the story of Jesus when his friend Lazarus died? If you look at the top of your handout in John 11, you've got this kind of scenario at the top. People come to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. Your friend Lazarus is dead. You didn't get here in time to heal him. Why didn't you get here in time? Why did you let him die? Jesus, Lazarus has died. They're emotionally just distraught about this. And here's where it picks up in verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, he was moved with indignation and was deeply troubled. And then Jesus wept. You guys, why is that significant? Well, Jesus was God in human form. And if God can weep over the death of one human being, but he's God. People die all the time. If you're God, you see it all. You know it all, right? People are constantly being born and people are constantly dying on the planet. But for God, Jesus was moved by this one man, his friend Lazarus' death. But Jesus had the power to raise him back to life. Yeah, and he does. He did. He rose Lazarus back to life. But he was still sad and he cried. And he showed some emotion. And I think, that's cool, that we have a God who validates our human emotions that we can cry to. Doggone it, something bad happens and you're sad. It's okay to cry. I don't care if you're a guy or a girl or whatever. Grown or young, I think tears are good. And I think God, gives us an example that Jesus can be sad about a friend passing away. Now, you might say, well, that's not fair. He had the power to bring him back. Yeah, but you know what? I don't know what drove him to do that, but maybe his grief was so deep that he decided to, on this one occasion, I'm going to use my supernatural power and bring my friend back because I can. That's pretty doggone cool. I don't know why, but I do know this. When people saw what Jesus did for Lazarus, other people put their faith in him. All right, we're going to move on. the tasks of grief. Now, you heard it say that grief's really not a task, but there are some things that we could have some, how do we have some healing over it? Here's some quick ones. Eventually, as you process it, to accept the reality of what happened. And then the second one, to express all of your emotions. Don't just keep them inside and maybe hide from them. And then you're going to have some new identity. And you're going to have to identify and cherish the important memories. Okay? So don't forget that they ever existed or that it ever happened. Cherish that. Hold on to that. Think of some happy moments you had with that person or that thing or that friendship. Then rework who you are. Now things have changed. You're a different person now. Now you're a person without a pet, or now you're a person without a friendship, or now you're a person without a job, or now you're a person without grandma and grandpa. So what does that mean? Well, that doesn't mean the end. That means you can be a different person, and now you can understand and cope with some other things. And then you reinvest in your changed life. Okay? That life's happened to you. You're affected by it. And now you can be a new person in it. And what does that look like? And those are from Dr. Zonbelt and Smegen, or what is that, and DeVries. I don't even know how to say their names. Not my stuff, but their stuff. I wanted to end with a movie clip that Kai actually recommended. Kai shared with me this week about an NBA star, basketball player, whose wife died, and he's sharing at the funeral service with the world on television about his hope that he has in God. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Take a look. You guys, I don't know how you lose your wife and stand up there with so much hope, right? I mean, that guy was just solid. Like, man, God is going to work it out. And he was amazingly able to process a lot of that grief. You know what? He may have moments where he goes back and hits some of that anger and some of that depression later. But in there, man, he is moved through, and he's integrating, and he's been able to find hope. And maybe even some meaning in his loss quickly, publicly. That's crazy. Now, is he going to have some bad days? Sure. But I wanted to tell you know what? It's possible to process grief well. It's possible that God can help you get through those phases and stages and then be able to help others later down the road, maybe after you've processed it, So you're going to have a chance now. You're going to go to your life groups. You have a chance to talk about things in your own life, and I encourage you to be open and honest and try to get some help. Here's what I want to note that's in your hand, okay? The yellow sheet, I'm not going to talk about it. It's actually for you. Here's another one. This one's 7 stages, a little bit different than the 5, not as many as the 20, but different ways that people process and cope with grief there. On the other side is kind of a tool for you to color in, actually.